Hi, this is Chris Belfield, your host for Let's Talk Mental Health. Here we are in mid-November, and so much has happened in the past month with the national, state, and community elections where some results are still pending. And of course, there is the COVID-19 pandemic, which has once again reached critical proportion in the impacts it is having on our nation. For this month's broadcast, we'll be doing a rebroadcast of last December's show on how to get through the holidays. Dr. Megan Johansson, clinical director of the Union Gospel Mission Twin Cities, gave some great practical advice on how we can prepare mentally for the upcoming holiday season. True, there was no pandemic when we had this discussion last year, but the material has universal application a year later. I also want to let you know that beginning next month, we will be starting a 3-part series on social media and mental health. HelpGuide.org states, "Multiple studies have found a strong link between heavy social media use and an increased risk for depression, anxiety, loneliness, self-harm, and even suicidal thoughts. Social media may promote negative experiences such as inadequacy about your life or appearance. This series will explore the effects of social media on mental health as it relates to society, the community, and the individual. Join us. And now, how to get through the holidays with Dr. Johansson. Welcome to the December broadcast of Let's Talk Mental Health. This local program discusses behavioral issues of concern to the North Shore community and resources to help. Today's program will be focusing on the subject of getting through the holidays with good mental health. To discuss this subject, our guest today is Dr. Megan Johansson, clinical director of the Union Gospel Mission in St. Paul, Minnesota. We are here today to discuss making it through the holidays with good mental health, and our special guest speaker today is Dr. Megan Johansson, clinical director, Union Gospel Mission in St. Paul, Minnesota. Dr. Johansson is a licensed psychologist and is the clinical director at Union Gospel Mission Twin Cities, helping homeless men, women, and children cope with issues around their mental health. Dr. Meg has worked in a variety of settings in clinical and forensic psychology, including both rural and urban outpatient mental health clinics. Her focus is often on helping the people with whom she works recognize and improve their resiliency, whether it's overcoming trauma, depression, anxiety, or other severe mental illnesses. Dr. Meg, good afternoon.
Hi there. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you for making the time to join us up here on the North Shore. I will let you know that it is bright, sunny. We're looking for highs above freezing, and we are digging out from snow. How are you doing down there?
We're doing the same. We had a sunny morning this morning and recently dug out ourselves, so I think we had a little bit less than you guys did up there.
Well, I heard that it ranged anywhere from 16 to 24 inches, and a unique thing was that the iconic lift bridge in Duluth was frozen, closed down because it couldn't lift all of the ice.
Oh, wow.
So there are some unique things about being up here on the North Shore. But to the subject matter at hand, here it is. We're in between Thanksgiving and Christmas. In fact, we've already had Black Friday and Cyber Monday, and it's only 3 weeks from today until Christmas, and a week after that until New Year's Day. Can you talk about the unique aspects, how this presents during the holiday season regarding mental health?
Yeah, absolutely. For many of the people I work with, I think that they often have the sense that the holidays are this magical time that everybody is happy and joyous. And the reality is, for so many people, the holiday time is a very difficult time, and that can be for a variety of reasons. We have a term in psychology now, the holiday blues, and that just refers to how all the different stressors of the holiday can really impact our emotional sense of well-being to get through the holidays. And in fact, for some people, it can go beyond that, and holiday blues can sometimes be a scapegoat for looking at underlying issues around depression or even seasonal affective disorder, with the daylight hours being so short this time of year.
Absolutely. And we're going to have a special program on that in February, one of our coldest months up here and dark. And so thank you very much. That's a good 2 months in advance lead-in, so thank you for that promo.
You're welcome.
If you can you talk about what are some of the things that causes, you talked about depression or anxiety, what are some of the factors that play into that this time of year?
Absolutely. For many people, including myself, we sometimes set unrealistic expectations for ourselves. I think that we can look at television shows or magazine articles or just what we are thinking that other people are experiencing and have the sense of this perfect Christmas or holiday season, and then we expect ourselves to live up to those types of things. We can have a lot of pressure to be a lot of different things, especially in our families. And especially with children, they often have things on their Christmas wish list that are not necessarily realistic. I just got my nephew's wish list, and it includes things such as a brand new laptop, and he's fairly young for that. I can totally respect that he wants that, but that can lead to a lot of extra stress for us. Also, for many people, the holidays can be a reminder about relationships that no longer exist, whether that's from divorce, separation. We also often have family traditions, and sometimes there's been losses, recent losses, or even past losses in the family, and the holidays really bring that up, whether that's that empty place at the family gathering or just those unique holiday traditions that involve that special person in our lives. And now as things change, that can really bring that up. Also, holidays can be a time where when we're getting together with family and friends, it can be a time where people start to really reflect on their own failures, or they look at ways to compare themselves to other people. And all this can go together, or just one aspect can really make it difficult for someone in the holiday time of year.
You had mentioned previously about the dynamics of family relationships and how those can change during the course of a lifetime. Do you see this as something that needs to be addressed or just worked on as you go through the holidays and accept them as they come?
It really depends on the family dynamics that we're talking about. You know, down here at the Union Gospel Mission Twin Cities, it's a very difficult population for the men and women that we're working with because they are separated from family members, and often that's because of a lot of traumatic dynamics in that family or really toxic relationships, whether those relationships involve, you know, like substance use, drug use, alcohol use, those kind of things, but also other types of trauma, whether it's domestic violence that they have fled or physical abuse, sexual abuse. So it's very difficult. And of course, they still want to be connected to family members, but for some of them, either their own difficulties are getting in the way or the family members' difficulties are getting in the way. And that's a similar dynamic that I've seen in outpatient settings as well, not just within the homeless population, that the family holiday traditions and being asked to family holiday gatherings can be very triggering for people, especially if there are those histories of abuse dynamics in the family. When those types of things are what we're talking about, we really look at that as a much more significant thing, that it's helpful to be really very careful how you deal with that and how you respect your own limits and needs in those relationships. But we also are finding much more commonly today that just difficult conversations can happen. We have a very different political system these days, and so the family gathering can bring people together that might have very differing views, and that's something that's much more able to be managed ahead of time, maybe setting some limits around what conversations happen or planning for some fun activities, those types of stuff, but certainly can raise stress about what might happen if those difficult conversations come up.
Would you be able to address the aspect you had previously mentioned about loneliness, particularly from the viewpoint of a aging population, which up here on the North Shore, we have an older group, many retirees. In addition, in a rural setting, we have distance between us, and that in our one of our major cities here, Two Harbors, you have about 30% of the county population, which means about 70% of us are rural out in the community, and we don't see our neighbors that often. And how important do you believe that is this time of year?
I think it's very important to find ways to connect with people. However, there's a lot of ways people can do that. And for some people, that's not always easy, especially when you're living in a rural area. If your house is out in a woodland area and you're responsible for getting out of a very long driveway or those types of things, especially with the snowfall, it may be very difficult to get out as easily or as regularly. And when we talk about people getting into their older adult years, there's a lot of other factors that can be impacting them, whether it's difficulty driving. Many people in my family struggle to drive at night, so it really limits them to the times of days that they can go out and do things. However, if people are finding themselves feeling lonely, there are a lot of ways that they can address that. They can reach out to family and friends. Even just talking on the telephone can be a way to connect with people, so you don't even need to leave a house. And for many people who are choosing to live in the North Shore, they have purposely decided to separate themselves from family relationships that are toxic. And that's a really good limit for them to set for themselves. However, that can bring up a lot of underlying emotions that they may suppress for a significant part of the year. But even if they pretend that the holiday isn't happening or it's just another day of the year, there's still that little bit of a reminder there. What we suggest for people, if they're not able to have those healthy family connections or have as much time with friends around this time of year, they can look at a lot of other options. There are church organizations and different community organizations that do have some activities, so looking into those things can be a helpful way to find some other ways to connect with people. For people with substance use disorders, finding local AA or NA meetings, finding the schedule and trying to get there. And for people in recovery, often there's people willing to volunteer to drive them to meetings. So if transportation is difficult for people, there are sometimes ways around that if they can reach out to that local group. Another thing that's really helpful, and this isn't just to address loneliness, but just generally to help lift mood, is volunteering. Being able to find a way to give back, to know that you're doing something to help someone else, can really help you feel better. It's an amazing thing that when we give gifts to other people, and that can be gifts of time, right, and connecting, it has an incredible effect on our mood. It also helps us really, I think, to find ways to connect to people and just being around people, even if we're not really close to them, but being around people and interacting with them in a variety of ways can really help to decrease that sense of being isolated and alone.
I would think that taking your recommendation would also improve one's own self-image and self-worth as they're reaching out to help others and getting the benefit of knowing that they have actually helped to improve someone else's life.
Absolutely. That's absolutely correct.
Well, I'm glad you brought up about the aspect of how to help others here. The North Shore Journal, one of our local newspapers, just last Friday had a front page article entitled How You Can Help Your Neighbors for the Holidays. And they listed, as I read through it, three good ideas. And the first was at Two Harbors Area Food Shelves, Comfort and Joy Drive was going to happen. Second, Salvation Army Toy Drive in both the Two Harbors and the Silver Bay area. And then finally, the Silver Bay Fire and Police Departments were sponsoring a Shop with a Hero Day for the young children coming up on Saturday, December 14th. So those are some ways people can look to take advantage of what's available or even possibly call and see if they could help volunteer.
Those sound like excellent opportunities. In fact, here down at the Mission here in the Twin Cities, we have a Shop for Moms event where people will come and volunteer, and I had the opportunity to do that last year and just helping kids to pick out some presents for their parents, and it really helped uplift my mood, and it put the whole holiday season in a different perspective for me, just kind of recognizing how the little joys in life can be so impactful. And you really get that when you're volunteering, is just seeing those small joys and those small things that can be so meaningful to other people.
Well, we're focusing right now on what we individually can do to help ourselves get through the holiday. Some of us may have different aspects of how the holidays are affecting us. What about that perspective of taking time for yourself?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, first of all, I think it's important for us to remember what about the season is important for us and to focus on those things and have a good sense of what that is for us ourselves. That can give us a good base for helping us manage holiday stress. However, I think that it's also important to have a variety of things in our toolbox to help us through stressful times of the year, like the holiday season. What I always recommend for clients, whether they are actually talking about the holidays being a difficult time of year for them, or they're not actually bringing that up, but just part of good self-care, is a holiday bill of rights for yourself. And I frame it that way because I think for many people, we forget to make sure we take enough time and do enough for ourselves throughout the holiday season, or actually any time of year. It's easy to get focused on others and forget to take that time for ourselves. So there's a variety of tips that can be very helpful, and these aren't one size fits all, but by having a variety of things to choose from, you can really get at that piece that fits really well for you and helps the holidays be a really good time of year. For clients and for friends and for family, it's important to help to reframe our thinking about the holidays. Instead of finding it as a stressful and overwhelming time of year that we dread, the holidays can really be an opportunity for us to enhance our own mental health and our own well-being, and to practice these types of skills and self-care strategies in this time of stress.
Would you say that possibly doing a hobby would also help if it's something you really enjoy doing?
Absolutely. And when we do hobbies, there is this concept of mindfulness that we have in the mental health community. And what mindfulness is that ability to really focus on the present moment. It means that we are not focusing on past things, failures, and we're also not focusing on future worries or concerns. And mindfulness is also about accepting what is in the present and what is truly reality versus getting into our mind and really seeing things through distorted lenses. When we are doing hobbies, when I'm doing hobbies, I find that I can get fully into it. And the more I can do it, the better I feel. It gives your mind a break from all that other stuff that you're concerned about, that you're worried about, that you're dreading. All of those things can go away for that period of time. You're totally focused on the hobby, whether that's woodworking or painting. It could be just being out in the woods, looking for nature, taking photographs, whatever it is. We all have a variety of different interests, but the common theme is that when we have that hobby, it's one of those opportunities to really help us focus our attention just solely on what we're doing in the moment and give us that break from the rest of life.
I think I can relate to that. Last week during the storm, when the winds were coming in at about 40, 50 knots an hour, my wife decided to go down to one of the local beach areas and look for agates. And she did find some, but what was more amazing to me was she took pictures of people who are out in the lake surfing because the waves were so high.
Yeah.
It's a North Shore thing, but you've got to be here to appreciate it, and they apparently had fun, and I guess their wetsuits kept them dry in that cold environment. You had mentioned
a little different surfing up there, yes.
Oh, yes, it is.
Some of those surfers. My understanding is you have to have a pretty heavy-duty helmet, too, to make it through the waves and rocks of Lake Superior.
Absolutely. I remember seeing people actually surfing down the channel in Canal Park one year, and good for them. I'll take pictures, but no, you're not going to get me out there. Dr. Meg, you had mentioned about reality. What is reality? You're offering some really good, insightful helps and tips. What about how to be realistic in our expectations?
Yeah, I think, again, as we think about how we look at the world, and especially in this world of Facebook and people posting on social media, I think it's important to remember that what is being advertised on television or in magazines or what people are presenting on Facebook is not necessarily what is actually happening. I give the example often about the person who's posted that perfect family picnic. And we can all think about summers where we've had family picnics. And for that moment that picture is being taken, everyone in the picture might be smiling and looking like they're having this wonderful time. But if we really remember what that experience was like, there's probably mosquitoes. It may have been humid. It may have been hot. Somebody was probably grumpy. Something didn't go right. And I think that it's important to put things in perspective when we're thinking about the holidays, because it's one of those times of year where, you know, the songs and the advertisements and the movies can really paint this picture that isn't real. And when we compare our true experience of the holiday season to that, it can really seem a lot more negative than it really is. When we can put things into perspective, you can start to really enjoy the small things. For example, as I already said, is finding the real meaning for yourself in the holiday season is so important. And then from day to day, if you can find those little joys or those little traditions that are meaningful for yourself in the holiday tradition, but also setting limits about what's really possible. So we all love holiday decorations, mm-hmm. but of course that means someone has to put those up and then someone has to take them down. So if someone's really busy with work and childcare or caring for other people, that might be less realistic in the time being. But they might find that a few holiday decorations are possible. Setting limits about what you can spend can also be really helpful. I think that there's a lot of pressure to buy things in the holiday season, and children can often have really intense holiday wish lists. And it's okay to take some time and really look at what's possible and set some limits around that, and just how much time you have. The holidays go by so quickly. And as you said at the beginning of the show, it's about 3 weeks until Christmas. And that doesn't give you a lot of time between the Thanksgiving holiday and then the next holiday that comes along. And so every day you have to realize what's actually possible and what you're willing to do and have that balance with what you need for self-care.
It also sounds like you're bringing in another good key point about, well, and I'm not trying to be trite, but focusing on the positive.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's very important, I think, in the concept of mindfulness, is if you can focus on what you're grateful for in the moment or what is important. And, you know, sometimes even if we look at some of the things that might have been a difficult thing in the moment, those things sometimes turn out to be one of the most wonderful family memories you have, whether it's the, you know, lopsided Christmas tree, or I've definitely had pets pull down the Christmas tree and break ornaments in the past. And in the moment, it's horrifying and you're really upset. But then when you look back, it's this beautiful memory of something that's happened that you can share with your family. So reframing that. And in fact, in my family, I'm known, and I don't look for the perfect Christmas tree. In fact, I really appreciate the Charlie Brown Christmas trees. There's something very special about those to me. And to me, it's also that reminder that things don't have to be perfect. But what is the holiday season about? And so that the ornaments that weren't broken by past pets are about memories that I've had with different family members.
So we're getting close to the end of our time here. If I could ask you to do, well, a summary, if somebody was just looking for the key points of your message today and your advice, what would the takeaway be for the people up here on the North Shore on how to get through the holidays positively?
Yeah, well, I think it's very important to be careful how you're comparing your holiday with others, to take some time to just be mindful of what's important about the holiday season for yourself, and to set those really good limits for yourself. Take time for yourself. Find ways to connect with people if you can. It's okay to say you don't want to go to a family gathering if that's toxic, and you can find other ways to connect with people, whether that's volunteering or reaching out to friends instead of family members. But making sure you are setting those limits for yourself and feeling like you have some rights as you move into the holiday season is extraordinarily important. It's okay to seek support. It's okay to set limits. And if you're able to just be in the moment, many people find that it's much more of a pleasant season than if they're worried about it being the perfect season.
Good words for all of us to take to heart and to apply during this holiday season. Dr. Megan Johansson, we want to thank you very much for taking the time to be with us this day and sharing your wisdom, your insight, your experience also.
It was a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
You are welcome. And please, as you get time, come up and visit us at the North Shore. We'd love to show you around.
I'm up there all the time. It's one of my favorite places in the world.
Ours as well. Have a great day.
You too. Thanks so much.
Okay. Hi, this is Chris Belfield, your host of Let's Talk Mental Health, letting you know that we really appreciate your feedback. You can send emails directly to the station at ktwh.org, or the program also has its own email, and that is lcmhtf@gmail.com. Again, lcmhtf@gmail.com, and that stands for Lake County Mental Health Task Force, and that is the group under which this broadcast is being brought to you by. Additionally, there is the North Shore Mental Health Group in Silver Bay. They have a fantastic website. You need to check this out because they have daily encouragements, lots of resources available. And they also sponsor a peer support group called GLAAD, and that's Group Living with Anxiety and Depression, and they are meeting online. For more information, again, go to that website. Speaking of websites, there is also the Northland Healthy Minds Organization out of Duluth. Again, a great website with lots of pertinent information and resource material for the local area. Speaking of the local area and our own Lake County, on the Lake County website, there is the Health and Human Services Support Guide, and in it, you will see a listing for mental health resources, 9 pages of local resources with lots of websites, phone numbers, and information that you can use. In the county, we also have the Human Development Center, again, accessible through Lake County website. And at our own Lakeview Hospital, they have mental health services being provided by a nurse practitioner. If you need it, look on their website. Finally, Lake County and Cook County have a cooperative agreement for an Arrowhead Emergency Services Chaplain Corps. These chaplains serve for our emergency responders, but also the community at large, and particularly at this time of the pandemic and some other challenging events, they've established a chaplain hotline. Hotline is for anyone to use, and it's available at 218-834-8504. Again, that's 218-834-8504. Until next time, for Let's Talk Mental Health, this is your host, Chris Belfield. Thanks for listening. Thank you.